Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, September 15th. We had originally scheduled Barry Castleman, the Prairie editor, to join us tonight. We're still hoping that we can do that, but there is the possibility, because of a scheduling conflict, that Barry's not going to be able to be with us tonight. So we're going to keep that open, that possibility open. Hopefully he can connect with us and we can chat. I wanted to get into a very fascinating article that he wrote as a Prairie editor about President Trump and how President Trump is working with Congress. Very interesting article. I'll talk about it a little bit in a couple of minutes. Well, today we have a couple of other things we want to get into. I have a post over at the American Thinker today about demographics. There's a fascinating gentleman by the name of John Judis, J-U-D-I-S. He wrote an article, I'm going to say several years ago. He and another fellow from the University of Texas, Ray Teixeira, wrote an article about demographics, basically saying that because of demographics, the Democrats were going to become the majority party. And now Mr. Judis is having a few second thoughts and has actually taken back his theory or amended his theory. The 2016 election has a lot to do with that change, as well as what is happening to the Democrat Party. So it's not so much that he questions the demographics. He just, he still believes in the demographical changes. He's just not certain that they will have the outcome that he had predicted before. We begin today with a happy number 80, the Gaylord Perry, who's a Hall of Fame pitcher. And if you ever saw Gaylord Perry pitch, probably, it depends how old you are. If you're older than 50, you probably saw him in the 70s. If you're younger than 30, you probably never saw him pitch. I think he retired in the 80s. But he was the guy who was so well known for the spitball. He had that spitter that he threw over the years, and he never got caught, as they say, so I guess he got away with it. But he was also a very good pitcher. I think the spitter was probably about 80% hype and 20% true. He was also a very good pitcher, as well as all the stories about the spitter. So he's 80 years old today. He's in the Hall of Fame, and had a famous brother, Jim, who was also a very good pitcher. So happy number 80 to Gaylord Perry. You know, you feel like you're getting old when these baseball players that you rooted for many years ago, that you went to the stadium to watch, are suddenly turning 80. Wow, how time flies. Well, I mentioned that I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning about demographics. A few years ago, as I mentioned, a gentleman by the name of John Judis, J-U-D-I-S, and another gentleman by the name of Ray Teixeira, wrote a very important book, very significant book, in the late 90s, maybe a few years later, let's say about 15 years ago, 15 to 20 years ago. They wrote a book, and they made the case, what they called the Democrat emerging majority. They felt that the demographics of the country were such that this was going to become a country where Democrats were going to be winning national elections. You would still have Republican pockets, but it would be, at least at the national level and in many of the big states, it would be run by Democrats. And that was all based on primarily the growth of the Hispanic population, and then the Hispanic population combined with the African-American population in, let's say, 35 to 40% of a shrinking white population would produce the results that they were talking about. And it, on paper, it made a lot of sense. I mean, I'm sure some of you remember back in 2012 hearing that Mitt Romney, the candidate, the Republican candidate, got a higher percentage of the white vote than, let's say, Ronald Reagan did in 1980. Of course, the difference is when Reagan ran in 1980, the white vote was 81% of the electorate. When Romney ran in 2012, the white vote was 20 or 72% of the electorate. So anyway, this was a theory, the theory of demographics, that was extremely important, very popular, and many people pointed to that theory as one of the reasons that the Republican Party had to improve its standing with Hispanic Americans. Well, then comes 2016. Then comes 2014. Or I should say 2014 and then 2016. And then all of a sudden, Donald Trump is elected president. And, well, all of a sudden, we have to take a look at demographics. Now, Mr. Judas wrote a very interesting article where he takes back his conclusion about demographics. He admits that, there's a demographical change. I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, the fact is that the Hispanic population will be a greater percentage of the electorate as time passes and of the population than it was 20 years ago or so on. So he recognizes that. But he also recognizes that all of these projections missed out on a couple of very important things. Number one is cultural issues, the kinds of issues that drive often Hispanics, let's say, who are very conservative, drives them to vote Republican, as well as economic issues. And then he looks at the Democrat Party, and he says, as long as the Democrat Party is focused exclusively on identity politics, gender, race, as long as they see everybody in terms of little groups, you know, blacks, Hispanics, whatever, as long as they do that, they're not going to be able to connect with a more conservative and in many ways middle-class minority population that is developing out there. So his advice to the Democrat Party is, if you don't want to become a permanent minority, you better start talking about the economy, and you better start talking about jobs, and you better start going into some of those communities that where Donald Trump did so well, and basically go in there and say, you know what, we want to talk about the economy, we want to talk about jobs, we want to talk about these things. So it's a fascinating article because it really shows that in politics, you cannot make permanent conclusions. In other words, just because something is happening in 1 year, let's say in 2008, when you had this tremendous coalition of voters that elected Barack Obama, that doesn't necessarily mean that the next Democrat is going to put together the same coalition. In fact, Hillary Clinton didn't in 2016. She never had the same intensity of support from African Americans or Hispanics that Barack Obama did. So what it really shows you is just because something is happening today, don't bet your money that it's going to be the same 10 years, 15 years from now. Things will change, people will change, populations will change, and values are going to change. So therefore, we really don't know. Just because the country is going to be, let's say, or just because Texas is going to be 50% Hispanic, let's say, very soon, that doesn't necessarily mean that Texas will go Democrat, because the last time around in 2014, you had a very conservative John Cornyn, Senator John Cornyn, who was reelected with a very important vote from the Hispanic community. The same with Governor Abbott when he ran for governor. He had a very significant percentage of the Hispanic vote. And in both cases, neither one of these men was pandering for Hispanic votes. They weren't out there talking about amnesty or whatever. They were basically talking about the economy. They were talking about family values. And they were saying, if you vote for me, I'm going to make your life better. Whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're Hispanic, your life is going to be better. And it worked for those two gentlemen. And I think it's going to work for a lot of Republicans as time passes. It doesn't mean that demographics, again, I want to make the, it doesn't mean that demographics does not exist. Yes, there is a demographics change in the country. All we're saying is it's not as conclusive. It's not quite as conclusive as it was in a previous time when everybody was saying these numbers by themselves will elect Democrats. Well, not really. The numbers by themselves will not. The Democrats will have to go out and earn their support and earn their vote, something that Hillary Clinton, frankly, did not do in 2016. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Quedes, Harpist, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And again, if you tuned in, we had promoted the fact that Barry Castleman, the Prairie editor, was going to be joining us tonight. Unfortunately, there was a last-minute scheduling issue, so he's not going to be joining us tonight. We're going to try to get him in as soon as possible. Barry wrote a fascinating article that I wanted to get into with him regarding President Trump and what President Trump is doing with Democrats. And I think what Barry was saying, and he's so right about this, is that President Trump is actually sending a message to the Republicans. This is not so much about the Democrats. It's not so much about, you know, endearing himself to the Democrats, because that's just not going to happen. But he's basically sending a message to the Republicans saying, hey, if you guys don't want to work with me, I got to get things done. And I'm going to pick off a few Democrats, and I'm going to get some things done. And you know what? It makes a lot of sense, because there are going to be several Democrats running for reelection in 2018, senators, that is, in states like West Virginia, Montana, in one of the Dakotas, in Missouri, in Indiana. Those are five states that voted overwhelmingly for Trump the last time around. Well, those states have senators, Democrats, who are running for reelection. And you better believe that those senators, I assume they want to get reelected. And I don't think they're going to be reelected by going to the left. I think they're going to be reelected by somehow seeing to be cooperating with President Trump. So I think it's a smart strategy. But the message to the Republicans is, guys, you got to get your act together. You got to get your act together. If you're not going to, if you're not going to do anything, then I guess we're just going to have to replace you with other Republicans who want to do something. But right now, the Republicans, of course, particularly on health care, were a major disappointment. But there's time. I mean, there's more time left. I'm not ready to throw out the whole party, but they were clearly a disappointment on health care. I have a post hopefully coming out Saturday morning regarding Senator Bernie Sanders. He ran for president, of course, the last time around. And Senator Sanders is proposing basically his version of universal health care. It's called Medicare for All. So everybody is going to be under Medicare if he has his way. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's actually dividing the Democrat Party more than anything else, because there's a lot of Democrats who are saying this is not realistic. This is not something we can afford. And in fact, in California, you can argue that California is probably the strongest Democrat state in the union. Certainly they have the strongest left of center government in the country, certainly one of them, maybe Vermont or one of those states in New England, but not as far left as California, maybe Washington, Oregon, anyway. But California is exactly the kind of place that would probably try out to do universal health care. And they did it. They actually had a vote in the House, and they had a program in the House, but when they in the state legislature, that is. And then when they started doing the numbers, they realized that universal health care in California was going to be bigger than the entire state budget, that they were going to have to take all the taxes that are going to everything else and just use them for health care. So the idea didn't get off the ground. But now, of course, what Bernie Sanders is doing, he wants to use Medicare and give Medicare to every American. I don't think it's going to work, frankly. I think it's going to fall flat, as a lot of Bernie Sanders' ideas do. I mean, I'm kind of hoping that universal health care becomes the issue of 2018 and 2010, or 2020, that is, because I think we will win that debate. But I have seen quite a few people on Facebook, for example, with profile pages. They have these little frames. If you're familiar with Facebook, you can get a frame that sort of represents your personal positions or your personal likes and all that kind of stuff. I have one about Texas, how I love Texas and that kind of thing. And they have one basically calling for universal health care or Medicare, in which they say that universal care or health care is a right. The problem with that is that nowhere in our Constitution does it say that health care is a right. And I would love, I mean, I would absolutely love a debate, or I would love to see Bernie Sanders not just call for Medicare for all, but I would love to see him call for a constitutional amendment, because I think we would require that if we're going to offer everybody health care. I mean, if it's a right, it should be put in the Constitution as a right. It should be put in the Constitution as an amendment. And I don't think they're going to do that. They're going to try to get by somehow tying this into things that are already in place, or maybe they're hoping that a Supreme Court justice like Anthony Kennedy, for example, on a legacy trip will approve this and do with health care the same thing that was done with same-sex marriage and abortion a few years ago. But I would love, bottom line is that I would love to have a debate in 2018 about health care, and I would love to have a debate about the cost of universal health care and exactly what it will do to people, because I think once you really, you know, once you get over the idea that universal health care is a right, once you get over this and you begin to realize that this is going to be a very expensive proposition for the American people and may not necessarily improve our health care a heck of a lot, I think you'll see the support for universal health care drop consistently. Well, we're going to reschedule Barry Castleman, as I mentioned. We're going to reschedule him, hopefully, for another program very soon. We do want to get his input on what's happening in Washington, but unfortunately, tonight, we just couldn't schedule him. But I do want to thank you so much for your time. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you later. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.